God is good, eh? Welcome. Good to see all of you. Welcome in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
All of you. Welcome. God is so good.
Amen.
And we thank the Lord for his mercies and for his grace and yes. For the opportunity, privilege to be around the table of the Lord to be feasting, getting ready to feast upon his word. That's why you're here, because you're hungry. You want bread in the house of the Lord. That's where bread is. You're in church to feed your soul. Okay? This is not a natural restaurant, but this is a restaurant for your soul, where you sit and feast at the table of the Lord to eat spiritual things. That's why we're here this morning, to maintain the Eden man of the heart, Peter. Was it Peter speaks about the what chapter about the hidden man of the heart? Peter speaks about that, but there's a hidden man of the heart that we are here to feed in one of the epistles of Peter. And God is so good to us. And turn your Bibles there to and put it on the board first there. First Peter chapter 3 verse. Okay, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, what does it say? What does it say in verse? it's speaking in verse 4 and said, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart." If you notice that there is a hidden man, where? In the heart. Not the one that you're looking on right now. That's not hidden. I can see you. There you are. And you can see me. There you. Here I am, right? So think now. Think. There's a man that you can see with the natural eyes. But there is one that you cannot see. It's called the hidden man of the heart. Now the Bible say that. It's not man that say that. It's the word of God. It said the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. So there's a corruptible man and there's one that's not corruptible. It's incorruptible. I want you to just let's take it easy right here so we can get these things in our minds. We read over scriptures, but we don't focus and get these an understanding, so we just mixed up everything. So it speaks about if you go to verse 3, it says adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or a putting on of apparel. That's the, you know, the outer man. But there's another man, verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks about a corruptible man and an incorruptible man. Do you ever read that in 1 Corinthians 15 speaks about the corruptible man and the incorruptible man. Peter speaks of the same thing here when he speaks of the outer, okay? The outer, that's the corruptible. But then he said, he speaks about the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, okay, verse 4, it's not corruptible, Even the ornament. Here's that. Look at that. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. A what? A meek and quiet spirit. Okay, now we've been studying in Psalms, the 23rd chapter. In Psalms, the 23rd chapter, where he leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down. Okay, help me. He leadeth me in Psalms 23. I'm using both scriptures now. In Psalms 23, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Then he restoreth my soul. This corruptible must put on incorruptible. Okay? The hidden man of the heart. I'm trying to put all these so you understand the word of God. It so speaks about the hidden man of the heart. Says says in that which is not corruptible. Turn that off, yeah. Okay. But let it not be the hidden man of the heart, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Okay. So go to verse, continue verse 5. For after this manner, in the old times, who notice, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Okay, it's talking about the hidden man of the heart. So we want to focus now. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Read on. He restored my soul. He leadeth me. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely, goodness, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell where? I will dwell where? In the house of the Lord. See, in my Father's house, Jesus said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. See, there are many dwelling places. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. For how long?
Forever.
How long is forever?
Forever.
So when the shepherd leads you, in verse 1, you go back to the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not lack. There will not be a lack because the shepherd produce or provide for you. But notice where, as he leads you, notice where he leads you. Notice where he leads you and where he makes your soul to lie down. I shall not want. He maketh me, notice it's his work, You'll never volunteer. You'll never do it. If the sheep begin to lead the shepherd, that sheep is in trouble. That's why when a person run ahead and does not see God, they are in trouble. But notice, it's the shepherd that leads the flock. And notice where he leads them. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I have no lack. He takes care of every need. My God shall supply all your needs. How? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the scripture says that all the treasures of wisdom, follow me, and knowledge is in the Lord. Open your mouth and say it. All of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge is in the Lord. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and we are complete in him. He provides everything for you to complete the journey. And he says that I shall not want. I have no lack. No need. Because he supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then he maketh me. Now notice it. He maketh me, but that's a big work. Because he has to work on all of the rebellion. Be still and know that I am God. It's not easy. Because we have that wrestling and that warring. When I would do good, evil is present with me. And we're wrestling. Not only, not against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. There's a wrestling inside of us. There's a war. And now he has to bring us to the place where we are still. Be still. Where we fully trust the Lord. Where we begin to walk by faith. Hallelujah. And not by sight. Be still. How long it takes you to trust the Lord? How long it takes you to get to that place where you're still. All your trust is in the Lord. He says that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. See, if we were choosing, we would not choose the green pastures of the Lord, because your thoughts are not God's thoughts. Her thoughts are not God's thoughts. We think differently. And what we think is good, God knows it's not good. The sheep cannot lead itself. It takes a shepherd. Oh, hallelujah. It takes a shepherd. So he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Then notice where he leads me. Beside the still waters. How many waters there raging and roaring? Troubles, water. The multitudes. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Wars and strife. But look where the Lord is leading us. Beside the still waters. And I mean, even in Revelation chapter 12, it tells us about the dragon, okay, that stood before the woman. If you look at Revelation chapter 12, there's a dragon that's standing before the woman. And what does it say in Revelation 12? It shows us a wonder in heaven. And behold, there was a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head was 12 stars. And she being with child cried and travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars and cast it down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, read on. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Underline that, with a rod of iron. Because the rod of iron, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled. Notice. And the woman fled in the wilderness where she at a place prepared. Notice. Where she at a place prepared of God. That they should feed her. See, where? See, he's leading even the fleeing church from the face of the serpent into green pastures. He's leading the church into green pastures. Okay? And he comforts the church with his rod and with his staff. Now, the woman fled into the wilderness where she at a place, amen, prepared of God. God's the one that prepared the place for the church. God is the one that leads the church beside the still waters. God is the one that gives strength to the church to flee from before the face of the dragon. He protects us. God must protect us from Satan. He's got to protect us from the raging. Why do the heathen rage? The roaring. The troubled water. Amen. Which is the human family that is in rebellion against God. Psalms chapter 2 tells us that. Now, it says that she had a place prepared of God. God provide supply and prepare the place. That they should feed her. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Notice that she's fled from before the face of the. She fled into the wilderness, but she fled to the place that was prepared for her by God, and. He says that they should feed her. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup run it over in the presence of your enemy. where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,200 and 70 days. And there was, goes on, war in heaven and so. And his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called one, the devil Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Go down. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, saying, now is come, one, salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. Next verse. Notice what they did. Notice, because of the provision of God, thou preparest a table before me. Hallelujah. In the presence of mine enemies. See, God never leaves the church alone. Notice how the good shepherd is leading the church through the waters, through the floods, through the storms, in the desert, the wilderness. He has a table, a place prepared with abundance of supply. Hallelujah. Where? In the wilderness. Said, and they overcame him by the provision. You will not lack. You shall not want. But notice what's provided for you, for your victory. Huh? No, notice what's provided for the hidden man of the heart. Your soul. It says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. How did that? Because he shed his blood. An abundance of supply. He gave it, his blood, when he shed it on the cross. And by what else did he provide? His blood and his word. You've got to understand that the weapons are for warfare. They're not carnal. But God provides these weapons. And they're mighty through God. To the pulling down strongholds. All those strongholds in your minds. That's where the strongholds. Those thoughts that's in your mind. When you say stronghold, what do you think about? You're thinking about outside and he pulling out. No. Focus on yourself. It's in your mind. Those thoughts that goes up and exalt itself against the knowledge of God. See, you need the knowledge of God so that you will come into the fullness of God. You need that knowledge. But there's something challenging and warring in your mind against the knowledge of God. And only God can give you a breakthrough. So he anoints you with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now back to Revelation 11. 12 verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And they washed their robes and make it white. Who are these? These are they that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That blood, that precious blood. The blood of the shepherd. He laid down his life for his sheep. He gave his blood. He shed his blood on the cross. And by the word of their testimony. What is the word of your testimony? Should be the word of God. It should be a confession of the word. And they love not. Notice. They love not their life. That's the natural life. You're not just focusing and your world is built around the natural life. See, they love not their lives unto the death. They are just like the shepherd laid down his life. They're willing to lay down theirs. Paul said it. Paul was willing to be offered up. Peter. All the apostles. The Revelations 20 speaks about, I saw souls. Amen? That were beheaded for the word of God for their testimonies. Revelation 20. And the souls under the altar crying out. Okay? And so back in, where am I now? In verse 12, therefore, look at that. Somebody help me. Therefore, what should you do? Although the serpent is issuing out water like a flood, okay? He issued water like a flood. But notice that does not affect you because he leads you beside still waters. Therefore rejoice, ye heaven, and he, notice, and he that dwell in them. All right, you're on the earth, but set your affection on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. We are seated in heavenly places. You're on the earth, but you're not of the earth, not of the world. But your affection is in heavenly places right now.
Amen.
Not just when you get to heaven, but right now.
Right now.
Your affection. Okay? So rejoice over ye heavens and ye that dwell therein. Christ raised us up and make us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it goes on, woe to them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. See, someone that give themselves to the things of the world. I have no time for God. Okay? Whoa. Their focus is not on God, but on the things of the world. See, so it goes on and says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. And the dragon saw, and when the dragon saw that he was cast out onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Go on. And to the woman, but notice, were given two. He supplies your need. No lack. Whenever you need something, God gives it to you. Even when you have to flee from the face of the serpent, he gives you wings that you might fly and mount up with wings as an eagle. Ah, Lord. He supplies your need. He turns you into an eagle. And if you understand, there's nothing has a better sight than an eagle. Quick. Can see afar off. Enlarging your vision. You become aggressive in the word of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You fly.
Huh?
You're faster than the enemy. You're swifter than the enemy.
Yes.
He gives you eagle's wings. And the woman, unto the woman were given, notice, the supply. Supply all your needs.
Yes.
To the woman were given two wings. Oh, hold on, read on carefully now. Two wings of a great eagle. Hallelujah. That she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God has a place provided for you. Where she is nourished, shout. Where she is nourished. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now we'll get that later on. But the rod and the staff is not to beat you up. Okay? It's not to beat you up. It's to comfort you. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. That rod is a weapon against the enemy. But and the staff will pull you back when you would go astray. Guide you. It's not to beat you up, it's to guide you. And the rod will beat up the enemy when the wolf or the lion comes. We'll get into that. Like David, who was a shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. In the presence of mine enemy. Now, if he provide a table for you in the presence of your enemy, you know, when soldiers are at war, they don't normally sit down and eat in the presence of their enemies. When bullets and everything is going off, they're running and dodging. But notice how different this is. And we're fighting against principalities and power, against the devil. But we don't have to run. We don't have to flee. We sit down and eat a meal. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody shout. The battle we fight is not ours, but the Lord. He prepared a table for us, for you, in the presence of your enemy, that you don't have to run from the devil, but you can sit down in the presence of your enemy and eat. Hallelujah. You getting it? Where am I? Verse 14. The woman that fled in with two great wings of eagle, she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. All of that suffering is to get the church to get you into your place. Oh God, what's going on in me? I don't know. Notice here. The rod and the staff comforts you. A place is provided for you. Where? I like that. She is nourished. Everybody knows what nourishing means, right? He says that. He restores my soul. He nourishes you. How are you nourished? With the milk of the word of God? With strong meat? He nourishes you for a time. And times. And half a time. That's 42 months. 3.5 years. You don't have to worry about a meal. Or a place to live. Or dwell. He provide a place for you in the wilderness. And he provide a table for you. And he provide nourishment for you. From. And this is powerful. You need to listen to this. From the face. I'm going to show you something. From the face of the what? Of the serpent. Focus. From the face of the serpent. Now, it's very a little bit technical right here. The Lord has to shield the church from the face of the serpent. Now, because he is working on something great and wonderful. if he hides us from the face of the serpent, is because God does not want us to take on any of the image of the serpent.
Amen. Right. Amen.
But there is another face.
Amen.
That God does not hide us or shields us, but we with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of God. What happened to you? Shout. When you look into that open face of Jesus Christ. Help me. What happened to you? Your change. Into the same image. You take on the face and the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're looking into his face and not the face of the devil. Not the face of the serpent. We will take on nothing that belongs to the devil. He takes us out to hide us and to shield us. Oh my God. If you get that, you're going to shout. So that's why it's important to look into, steadfastly into the word of God, into the face of Jesus Christ, that you will take on the image of the Son of God. There's nothing between you and Christ. You're not looking at anything the devil has to offer. You're not looking into the face. So the Lord takes us out there in the wilderness and hides us from the face, my God, of the serpent. But he reveals the face of Jesus Christ. If you get that, you'll be shouting. I said, if you get that, you will say, praise the Lord. He hides you. Come on. From the face of the serpent. Deliver us from evil. That's what the scripture says. Didn't he say that in also in Psalms, what does it say, 23? About evil? What does it say? That part. See, he delivers us from evil. I will fear no evil. What's the evil? See? Well, why? Why? Being exposed to the wiles of the devil. But they overcame him. We overcame the marks of the devil. We'll not look into the face of the devil. The image of the devil is not in our mind, in our thoughts, but it's the image of Jesus Christ. Because we, with open face, we're looking. Hallelujah. Every day, we're looking into the face, that unveiled face of Jesus Christ. I said, have you been looking? What have you been looking at? Where is your focus? Oh, I want to see him. To look upon his face. Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to look with an open face upon Jesus? To take on the image of Christ, you've got to be shunned from the face of the devil. You can't be looking at everything the devil has. God wants to hide us. He wants to shield you. He wants to deliver you from the face of the serpent. Because there's another face. And that's the face of the Son of God. And the scripture says, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. It's got to be, sir, we would see Jesus. Look into his face. You understand? He hides us from the face of the serpent. Verse 15. And the serpent casts out of his mouth. Water. Notice. Water. As a flood after the woman. But we don't have to worry about that because he leads us beside still waters.
Amen.
Amen. And when I walk through the flood or the fire, it cannot overcome or burn you. He leads us in still waters. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of his deception, his flood. But the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed, notice, at the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony, notice, of Jesus Christ. She has that in her forehead. So all the waters and all the flood that the dragon issued out of his mouth could not, and did not affect the woman, because God leads her, leads the church beside the still waters. Not the raging of and tumult of the devil. Amen? So if the Lord is your shepherd, I shall not want. Think of it. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. And he leads you beside still waters. He leads you beside still waters. Is there a scripture? I was trying to think. Isaiah, is it the 8th chapter? What does it say? Verse 8. Find that for me. Isaiah 8, verse 8. Let me see. Quickly, read that somebody for me.
And he shall pass.
Isaiah chapter 8, verse 8. Let me see if that's what I... And he shall pass through the Judah.
He shall
overflow and go over.
He shall reach
even to the neck. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. I wanted one where... speaks about the water of Shiloh. How... The rest, the peace of the water of Shiloh, gentle, how it runs gentle, and it's refreshing. Okay, but read another one. I'm looking for a scripture that I want, but in Jeremiah,
Isaiah 23:3,
what does it say? Read them. I want to get them here quickly. And read the next one now, quick. Yeah. Yeah, read that. That's the one I want. Notice what it says, what chapter? Isaiah, yes. I just missed it by a couple. Yeah. Isaiah 8, verse 6. Quickly. For as much. Verse 6. For as much as this people refuse it, what? The waters of Shiloh. Notice, it goes softly. The water of Shiloh goes softly. And rejoice in reason and Rimmelech's son. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up on them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria. It's talking about people. And all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channel and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah and shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of the wings shall fill the bread of thy land, O Emmanuel. That's showing the Assyrians and all these would come up, Nebuchadnezzar and that prophecy, and overtake, because they refuse the water of Shiloh. They refuse the still water. Now, Shiloh is a type of Christ. And he has the peaceful river. He has the peaceful water. Amen. And he invites us to come. If any man thirsts, come to that water and drink. But what happened when you refuse the water of Shiloh? What happened when you refuse the Holy Ghost? What happened when you refuse that still water, that refreshing water? Then the enemy will come in. So the Lord has to lead us. Oh, I feel like shouting. He has to lead us beside the still water. And that's what he's doing to the church right now. Despite the raging of the heathen and what's going on in the world, we don't have to be troubled or be afraid, because we have a God that cares. We have a Savior, a shepherd, that's leading us. And he will take the church and give her two wings, and she will fly into a place where God has a table spread. Aren't you excited? If I'm trying to show you the scripture, the scripture is trying to show you something here. Okay, and we'll continue. The Lord is my shepherd. First, he's got to be a shepherd. And you are a sheep. How do you know? Because my sheep knows my voice. But there's many voices. Even religion, there's so many voices pulling you and enticing you that you become confused. But if God is your shepherd, if Jesus is your shepherd, you will only hear the voice. See, the rocks will rent and the wind will blow around you. But like Elijah, he waits for the still, small voice, the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's that voice. My sheep knows my voice. And you let some other, a stranger, go and call, the sheep just ignore that voice. But when the shepherd's voice, and they recognize that, they raise up their head and they begin to follow. They know the voice, they hear the voice, and they follow the shepherd. And notice, there is only one shepherd, one voice that they follow. Whose voice are you following? We've got to search for that voice. And the Lord has got to be your shepherd. And the reason why I'm telling you, because we're getting into a lesson to show you that there's more than one shepherd. A false shepherd. And we're going to show you prophecies. All of this goes in, some of even into prophecies. We're touching a little this morning from Revelation 12. And Isaiah, we need a shepherd to lead us. The storms, the issuing of doctrines and deceptions out of the mouth of the dragon to carry away, to confuse the church, to mix the church up, to carry away with the flood. That's a flood of destruction and lies of the wicked one. But God wants us to be still. He doesn't lead you into confusion, but you be still and know. Study. Get the word of God in your heart and know that I'm God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you know him?
Amen.
Do you know that he's God today?
Amen.
Do you know that Jesus Christ is Lord? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords?
Amen.
Whatever you need, he supplies it. Because, was it Philippians said, he who was rich became poor. He laid down his glory and came. And he took upon himself the nature of a man and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Everything you need in God is here provided. There is no need. It's because we are not pressing into it. Because we are not focusing. We are not studying. We are not waiting for God. We want a quick miracle without seeking after God. That's not the way it comes. We just come to God and we want material things. Material things doesn't save you. No matter what you have. Otherwise Solomon would not say vanity of vanities. He had it all. Oh, we're coming into greatness and great material. What is that going to do for us unless you have a knowledge of God? Amen. My people are destroyed, not because of lack of money, but because of lack of knowledge. They don't know me. The ox know it his owner, and they ask his master's crib in Isaiah 1, but my people don't know me. That oxen will hear the voice and follow and listen to the shepherd or the master, but the saints of God doesn't listen. We hear it, but we don't follow. We don't believe it. And what happened to us is that our hearts become a stony ground. But we need a shepherd to come in and to plow our hearts and to change us. So see, we're talking this morning about the hidden man of the heart. Has to be led by the shepherd. Where? That hidden man of the heart. Because we've got to put off the corruptible and put on the incorruptible. Amen?
Amen.
We have to put on mortal to take on immortality. But how is this going to happen? In closing. Though I walk through, focus, we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The people that sat in darkness saw great light and the regions of the shadow of death. I mean, in Adam all died, everything around us is going to die. There's nothing permanent. Solomon said, vanity of vanities, all that's under the sun. But look at the hope that we have. Look at how he leads us out of the valley. My. Now, look at how he leads us. Oh, ye dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Look at how he supply and lead us through the valley. We're going through the valley of death right now. Death and sin came into the world and Satan. And we were afraid of death. Of him who had the power of death. Satan. Death reigns. From Adam. But notice how it says. He leadeth me through. Are you focusing? He leads you through the valley. Right now you don't. I don't know. We are in a valley right now. But notice is walking. We are not stopping. And neither are we running. It's a walk. It's a walk. How much more walk do you have before you come to the end of it? You've got to understand, we are in a valley. On one side is Mount Sinai, another side is Mount Zion. But we're heading to Zion. And we're coming out of the valley. Of the shadow of death. Now, let me explain. The shadow of death. Have you ever seen a shadow? You're not afraid of a shadow, are you? A shadow can't hurt you. A shadow cannot attack you. It's only a shadow. A shadow cannot keep you. A shadow. We're going through the valley of the shadow of death. Even as though we were delivered from the shadow of the law. The law was a shadow of good things to come. But not the very image. There was another law, which is the law of liberty, a better law, a greater law, a law of life. And we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we fear no evil. We fear no evil. Why not? Because thou art with me, thy rod, R-O-D, and staff, they comfort me. Okay? So surely goodness and mercy shall follow us, although we go into the valley of the shadow of death, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell where? In the house of the Lord. And at the end of the valley, and on the other side, we stepped out of this life into the life which is to come. Immortality. Hallelujah. All right. Amen.